You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Welcome to a special edition of Bible Prophecy Daily. It's our 300th episode of this extension of Eschatos Ministries. That's right, episode number 300, and it's my first opportunity to greet you here. Hello everyone, I'm David Moeller, and I have the blessing and privilege of working with Dr. Alan Kirshner to receive all of the audio content sent by our teachers and then produce it for publication on this daily podcast. I've also had the delightful opportunity to meet some of our listeners earlier this year at the Zion's Hope Prophecy Summit in Florida, and also many others online in the Facebook Pre-Wrath Rapture group. So many listeners have told me I listen every day, or I've listened to all the episodes. What an encouragement to hear that people are being equipped to be courageous overcomers in the face of coming pressure, and who will not be ashamed at the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Back in 2022, as we were finally emerging from COVID, I remember walking along a sidewalk on a cold day when my phone rang. It was my friend Alan Kirshner calling with excitement about an idea he had. What if there was a daily podcast of several prophecy teachers who were aligned on the essentials of the pre-wrath position? Personally, I thought it was a home run of an idea. The church needs sane biblical exposition in the area of Bible prophecy. Since our first episode in 2023, the podcast has taken off with metrics showing listeners from all over the world and even placing as the number one listened to podcast in its category of biblical prophecy. Just before recording this episode, I searched Spotify using the single word prophecy, and Bible Prophecy Daily was the top result. We give glory to Christ, who wants His church to be properly prepared for His coming. As a volunteer in this ministry, I hasten to add for the benefit of all listeners that the podcast is a listener-supported mission of the heart of Dr. Kirshner and all of our teachers who take time to prepare and freely contribute their excellent teaching for our benefit. These men and women are focused on preparing Christians for the expectant return of Jesus Christ. On this podcast, we have the unique privilege of hearing from teachers who have been championing the pre-wrath position since day one, when our beloved brother, the late Marv Rosenthal, wrote the watershed book, The Pre-Wrath Rapture of the Church. We're so grateful for the support of faithful listeners who know there is no other source of instruction like this. I want to encourage you to support the ministry as you may be led. There is a support button in the upper left of our page at BibleProphecyDaily.com. Please prayerfully consider how you can help sustain this podcast for your fellow sisters and brothers around the world. If you've been listening for any length of time, one of the best things about our teachers is their commitment to biblical exposition, without the stereotypical prophecy hype or personal vitriol. Not one episode we have aired, and I've listened to all of them, has engaged in ad hominem attacks or sensational eisegesis. Interesting, engaging, and relevant topics from Old Testament prophecy to current-day events have all been presented in a concise, biblical manner. Attentive listeners will even hear some differences of opinion between our teachers, and this is both expected and appreciated. We're not presenting a systematic dogma that we feel compelled to protect because our academic associations or broadcast underwriting is more important than the truth. We are cognizant that our subject matter deals directly with the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we don't have it all figured out to the gnat's eyelash. But we do know one thing for sure. The Bible does not teach that the church is exempt from the fury of Satan, which we believe will reach its peak on earth through the Antichrist and the beast during Daniel's 70th week. We believe that pre-tribulationism's claims are not only a gross interpretive error, we also believe that the pre-tribulation view is not capable of adequately preparing the church for a world that will be singularly hostile to Christians. Nor is the kingdom going to progressively emerge on earth prior to Christ's return, as preterism fancifully alleges. Nonetheless, prominent Christian teachers continue to echo the tired, illogical, and eisegetical 19th century positions of the pre-tribulation rapture position. Whether their academic and church relationships bring too much pressure to bear to change their position, or whether they simply do not see the persistent and widening cracks in their eschatology, I can't say. But I do know that an increasing number of Christians in all variety of traditions around the world Southern Baptist, Independent Bible, Evangelical Free, Assembly of God, Grace Brethren, Presbyterian, Anglican, and others are paying attention to the clarity and convicting exposition of God's Word, which reveals that those of Christ's church who will be present at Christ's return must be prepared to go through necessary trials at the hand of the Antichrist himself. The essence of the pre-wrath position is found in 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. The Bible, when not subjugated to predisposition, clearly lays out a final period of persecution of those who profess Jesus Christ prior to the administration of God's wrath on the world. God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will be taken out of this world before that great and terrible day of the Lord. This is why in Jesus, our blessed hope, all believers have peace. Even though we may be in the world and have all manner of tribulation, pressure, and persecution, we take heart because Jesus has overcome the world and has made us more than overcomers. Overcoming is, in fact, an overriding theme of the book of Revelation, particularly at its outset. In Christ's letters to the churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, each and every church is exhorted to overcome. Each and every church in its particular condition and context is instructed not only what to overcome, but what is in store if they do or do not overcome. For 5 of those 7 churches, the consequences are more than sobering, if not outright frightening. Take a look, for example, at the warnings given to Christians at Thyatira and Laodicea. The consequences of their faithlessness and sin in the church are devastating. While there is certainly local application of these warnings to actual churches that existed in the Apostle John's time, who can possibly ignore the implications of these letters from Jesus that obviously address an overarching representation of all Christians throughout the church age in various states of faith and behavior? In our day, we can point to large swaths of churches and even some denominations that are certainly full of love, faith, and service, but are at the same time ambivalent to sexual immorality and proud, self-constituted idolatry. Well, that's the church at Thyatira. And this speaks directly against those who say Jesus would never allow his bride to go through tribulation. That perspective needs to understand Revelation 2:22, where he not only allows it, Jesus says he will cast those who are participating in sin into tribulation, and he's talking about members of the church. The call to this Thyatiran behavior, of course, is to repent and overcome. Or look at Laodicea, lukewarm, self-reliantly rich, and in need of nothing. They think they are God's real deal. But again, one cannot help but look at the American evangelical church in nearly every denomination and see entirely commercialized enterprises complete with branding, theatrical staging, pseudo-business entities, multi-million dollar operating budgets, countless humanitarian efforts, and all kinds of organizational structure with professional management, but not one whit of convictional call to repentance preaching or evangelization. I would note that when Jesus says he wishes the Laodicean Christians were either cold or hot, he is not saying, "I wish you were in or out." He is clearly indicating that lukewarmness is good for nothing, and he's going to spit them out. And to the contrary, cold water is good for something. It quenches thirst. And hot water is good for something. You take a bath in it to open the pores and clean out the dirt. It would seem, therefore, that Jesus is saying, you're not cold enough to quench anyone's thirst for righteousness, and you're not hot enough to convict the heart. You're lukewarm, good for nothing. In all but 2 of those 7 churches, it is absolutely clear that Jesus is warning Christians to get their act together. Part of the inherent sin problem is the degree to which we, as human beings, ignore our obligations and priorities under Christ as the one who purchased us with his blood. As the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, "You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." The pre-wrath position, which we affirm here on Bible Prophecy Daily, does not seek to be one academic view among many. Rather, it is the singular view that sounds the watchman's warning. Not only does the unrepentant world have a day of reckoning under God's wrath, but prior to that divine wrath, the last generation Church of Jesus Christ must also be prepared to suffer the fury of the Church's one contemptible accuser as she simultaneously prepares to meet her Savior so as not to be ashamed at his coming. Well, we're 300 episodes in here on Bible Prophecy Daily, and I pray that it is apparent and helpful to you that we want the Church to hear Christ's call to be ready, not only for his return, which could happen in any generation, but also to be prepared for the cataclysmic events whereupon Satan will wage his final battle against those who name the name of Christ. Again, if you understand these truths and they burn within your heart, please consider supporting Eschatos Ministries in this effort. For so many Christians in so many varying church settings, the teachers we're presenting are the only resource they presently have to hear this teaching from a single resource on a regular basis. And finally, thanks to our teachers, Dr. Alan Kirshner, Nelson Walters, Ron Wallace, Chris White, Marquis Laughlin, Jake McCandless, Dr. Charles Cooper, David Rosenthal, Michael Lufferman, Dr. Michael Weiss, Holly Pivick, Janet Willis, David Rosenthal, Bob Hunt, and Travis Snow. Please pray for them that God will continue to strengthen them, providing for their needs and sustaining their respective ministries. And finally, pray for your own pastor and church that God will open the eyes of all of Christ's church, preparing us for that great day as we say with the Apostle John, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.